You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
The Knicks with a 3-1 series lead going back to Cleveland on Wednesday.
There's nothing like the Garden.
You see why there's this mindset of why winning in New York is so different and so special.
This team, I've been a Knicks fan since 99. Special, man.
But we have the best fans and it's the best arena to play in. There's nothing like a big game in the Garden.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Spidey!
Don't you wait!
Don't you wish you can't do it!
On 98.7 ESPN.
Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go!
I don't care low-hanging fruit or not. I love it. Put it up, Raymond.
We're back on track on the fourth score, and Morris 94.
Tell me it doesn't move with this.
It's bouncing.
It's a good song.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I heard, the rejoin when he said Knicks up 3-1, it moved.
Of course it did. Now you hear this song. I mean, this is beautiful stuff. Now this portion of the show, you don't have to bury the music. This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. We will get to the Rangers Devils in a couple minutes. We'll get to all the baseball in a few minutes as well. But I think it's fair to say today, the Knicks are the story. You mentioned it before. They've won one playoff series in 20. That can't be right. One in 20 years.
20 seasons.
I don't think that's right, though.
They had gone a long stretch. I think it was 2000 to 2013.
Yeah, right? But didn't they beat the Celtics the 1 year?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the only playoff win?
Playoff series win was in the 2012-13 season.
Right, and then they lost to Indiana.
Correct.
And then the last time they were in the playoffs, they lost to Atlanta in the first round.
Right, and then the year prior to 2011.
First round.
The Heat.
This is amazing. 20 years with one playoff series. You talk about a fan base that's been just irrelevant for so
starving.
Long. You wonder why they're climbing poles.
That's why I laugh at the people saying, oh, act like you've been there before.
How do you act like you've been to a place you've never been to before?
No, they deserve it. Go nuts.
Should go nuts. And you know what I'm starting to get sick of? Randall wasn't good, and this is a problem. And next round, Drew Holiday, what are we going to do if we play Jason Tatum? Shut up.
We don't even know first of all, we're not through the series. And second of all, we don't even know what's happening in the other series.
Can you just enjoy the moment?
Yeah, like, come on, man. Like, this is... I hate this.
I don't like it either.
All you want is to get to this spot. Now we're in the spot. We're in the moment where we actually have a chance. We're up 3-1 in the series. Let's just enjoy the fact that our team was just lights out in two games of the Garden.
They can't. Here's Jalen Brunson on trying to close out the series in five in Cleveland.
Physicality. Just continuing to play with a lot of physicality, not giving anything easy, and then playing team ball on the offensive end, just making the right play.
You think Cleveland shows out on Wednesday, or you think Cleveland is on the verge of quitting in the series?
I think Donovan Mitchell probably shows up.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the hardest game to win. The closeout game is always the hardest game to win because of, it's the other team's season on the line.
That's right. And they're a prideful bunch.
Right, they're a prideful bunch, but I mean, there's no reason why you can't go into Cleveland and win. You already proved that you can go into Cleveland and win. You come out hard. Give yourself a chance, and we'll see what happens.
Yep, and at least you know if you don't win that game, what you have waiting in the wings for Friday night, Game 6.
Right. I mean, in the Garden, dude. I mean, this four-day stretch to the Garden, having the Knicks and Rangers go four straight days has been great.
It's a lot, though.
It's a lot.
It's very stressful. It's a lot. I mean, Friday was amazing. Saturday was a real letdown. Sunday was amazing, and now tonight, Rangers got to get back at it.
Yeah, the Rangers are going to win this one tonight.
Yeah, and it's a game, of course, you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN.
I think they'll be fine. I think they'll win tonight.
You do?
Yeah, I think they win tonight.
I'm a little anxious. You should have seen Raymond trying to talk, because I didn't feel great about Saturday. And Raymond came to visit me and Alex in the suite, and he's like, what's the matter with you? Right, Ray? And I was like, I don't feel great about this.
Yeah, when I walked to the suite, you were sitting on the side looking depressed by yourself. I was concerned.
Well, because I didn't feel great about that game. I still think the Raiders win the series. I didn't feel great. And Grasso annoyed me on Friday with his whole thing. This series is over. It's done.
He was a Devils fan. Don't listen to him.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Who knows what kind of fan he is now? Well, he's a fan for whatever team works out for his best interest.
Everybody has this. Did you hear, by the way?
Oh, no.
That Don's going to allow his children to be Yankees fans?
I did. I did.
I mean, how do you get up from that?
I don't know.
How do you get up from that?
He's lost all control of his house.
RJ, you're on the verge of having a child, and we do know without the name, we do know it's going to be a boy.
Yes.
That boy, baby boy Santillo, pops out. Year five. He's like, you know what, Dad? You know what I love? The Seahawks. Ooh. You say, go ahead, root for the Seahawks.
Well, here's what I'll ask.
But I don't know if the Seahawks is a fair. I don't think that's a fair comparison.
Who's your most hated team in football right now?
Yeah, Seattle. I get what he's going for because it's the same city. So I'll ask the two of you. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a moment where you thought a crossover, going rogue from a child in terms of sports interests was?
I wouldn't have allowed it to happen.
Yes, I did.
Go ahead. Tell yours, because I'm a genius in my parenting skills. Go ahead.
Well, no, you're psychotic. I wouldn't say genius.
Maybe a psychotic genius.
You probably threatened to throw your kids out of the house.
No. Before they even knew, I would speak negatively about these. I said, you know what the Cowboys do if you root for the Cowboys? I said, Cowboys, they push little children right to the ground. That, if you walked by a famous Cowboys player, you know what he would do to you? He would slap you across the face and push you to the ground. So immediately they're like, we don't want to root for the Cowboys. Right?
So you lied to them.
I'm not lying to them. I believe that to be true. In my mind, that's
it's propaganda.
True.
Good parenting.
Yeah. You know what? It's better than my kids rooting for the Cowboys.
Right. You're Charles Manson type genius.
Whatever.
You are. No, Milo had a little flirtation with the Yankees because my wife, without me knowing, decided to send him to a Yankees baseball camp. So we got to go to Yankee Stadium and all this other stuff. He got to meet Austin Romine. It wasn't good. Loved Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And then thank God, thank you, that the second he saw he heard those trumpets and Edwin Diaz came rolling out of.
He came back over, huh?
With his number on. That was it.
Now it's more appropriate, Raymond. So RJ,
now he's a Mets fan.
You would be willing to allow baby boy Santillo to root for the Mets?
No, I'd be terrified of it. But at the end of the day, if an event happens, I mean, how do you get back on track? It seems like
you do whatever means necessary, RJ. Mm. If you have to tell him bad things about the Mets, if you have to lie to him, you take matters into your own hands. You can't have your child rooting
for the Seattle Seahawks eat babies.
Yeah. Say, listen, there's a chance that a Seahawk would swoop down from the heavens, take a child, and then just fly off with them.
Oh.
So you tell them.
Seahawks, bad people. Sea Wagons, decent football team.
Yeah,
course.
Very good, aren't they?
All in on Sea Wagons, huh?
Is that where Josh Gordon is playing?
Yeah.
It was a solid pick by you, the Sea Wagons.
I didn't know anything about them. I just jumped I jumped right on the Sea Wagon bandwagon.
Right on the Sea Wagon.
Yeah, right on the Sea Wagon. It's played very nicely for me.
RJ, how close are we to identifying the exact name of this child?
They know.
Yeah, no,
they know.
I'd say we're down to two.
Luca. Luca and Anthony.
It's a one-on-one matchup
I got it. Luca versus Anthony.
Do you have one and Ange has one? Or do you both agree on the one you prefer?
I'd say we have the same approach. But it's really, we got to actually, you know, have a meeting of the minds and hammer this.
What are we waiting on?
You got to see him.
Are you going to wait till you see him?
Well, that's what Ann said. I'm letting her drive from here. I said, whatever tour on the table, I'm good with. And she wants to take the directive of when we see him, we'll know. I said, okay.
Are you thinking about Giants as the middle name?
Yeah, it's right in play. It's right in play.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a very wise selection.
Yeah.
You know what you do, though?
Luca Giants.
Maybe you need Luca Giants Santillo's got a ring to it. Maybe you
sounds
go
like
Yankees
a serial killer.
Yankees middle name. Now, if he says, Dad, I want to root for the Mets, or your middle name's Yankees, you can't.
Oh, you want a hyphen? Or you want to go Giants, Yankees, middle name?
The hyphen? I don't like the hyphen.
You don't like the hyphen. You like the Giants, though.
I like the Giants more than the hyphen, yes.
Got it. Okay.
But you're not a Giants fan, so that would be strange. Yeah, so why don't you just go Yankee? Luca, Yankees, Santillo.
Yeah, you know what? I was right there to go Giants, but you talk after this revelation, this epiphany I just had. I guess we'll steer away from Giants, yeah.
I think you're mocking me. I don't feel like you're being very nice, and because of it, I want to go to the calls. Let's go to Steve in Jersey. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I hope y'all had a great weekend. I wanted to call because I'm tired of our fan base always crying. It sounds like we're always on the time of the month, and this is why people don't want to come over and play. We get it. I'm going to take accountability this morning also. I was getting on Julius behind closed doors, but I see Julius' problem is he needs to stop shooting so much and drive to the basket, post up. Little boys, these other guys that's defending him. He could do that. Same thing with RJ. RJ needs to start taking more accountability on his IQ to the game. He plays the same way whether he's doing good or bad, but I've noticed that when Julius is doing good, RJ does bad. When RJ's doing good, Julius does bad. So it was like we as fans need to take accountability and stop complaining and stop whining so much. We already know who we have. They're not going nowhere. They're staying on this team. Only one I'm more disappointed in is RJ because we put that third-round pick on him. He needs to step up and be more
He's
consistent.
He's been phenomenal.
You give advice to everybody
that they can't be picking on the Knicks players. Then you have a Knicks player who's been a revelation, Steve, the last two games, and you're like, I'm disappointed in RJ.
Hear me out real quick, Dave. All due respect. RJ needs to be more consistent and just step up his IQ. That's all I'm saying as far as RJ goes. It's the truth. Just like we need to take accountability and stop whining and stop complaining because both the fan bases I'm a part of are annoying as heck. I would curse, but I'm on the radio, so I'm going to be respectful because I know little babies are listening. They're annoying as heck. And me as a realist, and I love football and I love basketball. We're speaking about basketball right now. Us as Knicks fans, we need to stop whining so much. And then maybe, just maybe, these players will start clicking better and people will want to come here and actually help us get a championship. We're on the brink of it. We're one more player away. If we can keep this little core together, we're one more player away from getting that championship and getting back to the finals.
It's a good
I think
team.
The more – here's the thing, though, too. The more the NBA gets to see how crazy – Madison Square Garden is.
Yes.
And what an advantage it can be.
Tell me if you're a Dame Lillard, Zion Williamson, whatever ilk of star that happens to be, that you're not watching this being like, there's something else there.
Right. And knowing now that it's not going to be just you trying to do it by yourself, and when it doesn't go well, because we all know how bad it can be too. Like, this is the best of it, but it can be awful, too.
It can be the exact antithesis of this, right?
Right. So if you have the pieces and you got a good team and you have an opportunity to make a run in the playoffs, the Garden is the best place to do it. It really is. Like, you can feel it coming through the television, man.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, when they take the court and there's just like this war, and this team really represents New York City, too. Doesn't it?
Yes. This is an easy team to root for. Yep.
How about this nasty tweet I get from Buckley? Oh,
no.
This, and I think even you, he's got no followers, so.
But Buckley usually comes at you hard.
Does he?
I think so. The name sounds familiar.
He says, shocker, you and your kid were in the suite, really teaching him the value of hard work, raising entitled brats just like yourself.
Wow. Shot at your parenting.
I mean, that's not a very nice person.
I don't know. I'm not sure how it could have been any nastier.
I actually think about that all the time. Am I spoiling them? Am I taking them to the suite? And then my thought is I can't get a ticket otherwise.
Yeah, how else are you going to get a ticket?
I couldn't go to the game. So should I not go to the game?
It's not like you're sitting courtside.
No. Alex, sorry, we can't go to the game. Why? Buckley really turns his nose up at this one.
Yeah, but I think here's in defense of you too, though. I think your kids also see that you're up at the crack of dawn, like work. This is not something that it's a benefit of your job.
And I'm emptying the dishwasher.
How's the sock situation?
I think this is my last pair of socks. But I feel I don't want to say anything to Sherry, but everyone else's laundry seems to be getting done.
Maybe Buckley brings up some good points.
No, Buckley's a bad human being. I'm not even sure these are my socks, actually, to be honest with you. But they were in my drawer, and I was like, all right, I'll put them on.
Yeah, you're not really disputing Buckley's point right now.
Well, how am I entitled?
Everyone else's laundry seems to be getting done. Well,
but we have a division of labor. Like, if something happened with Sherry's car, I would bring it in and I would nurse it back to health.
No, you wouldn't. You would just park. You would park and someone else would fix it.
She's not 100% right you now. Would
nurse, you wouldn't nurse anything back to health.
Yes, I would.
By nurse it to health, you mean park it, go get a slice of pizza, come back, yes, hand over a sum of money, and drive it home.
Right.
Which is fine.
But that's the division of labor we have.
Technically, that's nursing it back to health. It's just not in...
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know how to change rotors. Okay.
I told you, this is your time to go to AutoZone and
I can't do that.
Be an apprentice.
Be the person you've always wanted to be. Now
I never wanted to be that person. I'm very happy with not knowing how to do anything and having other people do it for me. Why are you laughing?
Did you see Dave putting a car on a lift, cutting rotors and replacing brake pads?
Oh, no, it fell.
My banana fell. I had a nervous breakdown. You want me to put things on a lift?
We're punting. Yeah,
I've never, you're like, be the person you've always wanted to be. I'm perfectly happy knowing what I don't know.
I'm a hero.
Yes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You should see the stress on one RJ Santillo's baby face, Rick.
Why is he so stressed out?
This whole Mel Kiper thing has him really in a way.
Well, let's see how Mel responds today when we speak to him. After he's on, I mean, he's now experienced the cream and he's on the
That's right.
High.
Yeah.
RJ, can you confirm that he had opened and started to use the 15-pack of whipped cream when you were texting with him this weekend,
I can't confirm by sight or photo, but only by the rhetoric of which he's speaking. I can only assume that he's cracked into those suckers.
What's in the box?
But I was talking with Ray, yeah. And here's where it's a little uncomfortable.
It shouldn't be uncomfortable.
Well, I feel uncomfortable because, as the brilliant Raymond Santiago said, Mel, as much as we love you, don't get this confused. We are bribing you with whipped cream to come on our show.
Right. The expectation is we're giving you what you need, and in return, we give the fan base what they need, which is more Mel Kiper.
Yes. I mean, otherwise, because Rick, as like pseudo-ownership of this project, he'd have a right to come to us and say, you know, where are the hard-earned dollars going of whipped cream?
Right. And you know what? And this would be awful. But what could see happening? A lessening in the frequency and amount of whipped cream that's sent to him.
Where's my money?
Now, well, this is what you worry about, though. Mel already has a shipment to get him through, I don't know, the next like hour and a half in 15 bottles. You don't think he'd rip us off? Would
no,
he?
No.
He already has the product. He has
no,
it.
No, it was a show of good faith is what it was.
And you know what else? You think this is it for him? You think the pumpkin pie whipped cream barrage stops after this 15-can attack? No. This is a
I could, though.
No.
No, but it could.
You think he's going to stop having pumpkin pie with fat-free whipped cream?
No. But if he doesn't want to play ball, it could stop.
Yeah, I mean, he already has the off-season in sights. He has crab cakes on the mind.
All I want. Yeah, he said no to Thursday, correct?
Yes.
We need a Friday. We need a Thursday mentioned during the draft, which he seems still very open to, right?
Amenable to, yes.
Yeah. So we get the Thursday mention. We get the Friday spot. 5 minutes. Tell me how the Giants do, how the Jets do, what should they do tonight? That's it. And then the Monday, the full recap. That's what I need from Mel. Is that asking too much?
No.
I don't think so.
I would agree. We need Friday. That's our sticking point. We need Friday. So we have to stay together on this.
Yeah, but you of the three of us, you'll be the first one to go running into the corner.
I think that's right.
Because he'll be like, listen, I told you I can't do it. And you'll be like, okay, Mel, well, thank you so much. And I think Rick and I, now we push.
I need your help.
Well, yeah, if that's the case, you actually have to get involved and start pushing.
We're going to do this live on air with Mel. This is not going to be a behind-the-scenes thing. This is going to be live. He joins us straight up at 8 o'clock this morning. Mel, thank you for today. We know you got the whipped cream. We need you Friday after the shout-out on Thursday night.
So you're planning
all the different crab cake places this summer, eating crab cakes, hopefully.
Plan now is to sandbag him.
That's what he did last week. Yeah, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to back him into a corner until he says yes.
That's right.
I love it.
That's right. That's what we do. We have the control. We have the power. We're gonna use it. Is what we're gonna do. I think
this is not a great look for RJ, though. Let's be honest.
How is this an RJ issue?
Because he doesn't respect RJ, and he's really pushing back on RJ. Let's see what happens when he joins us in a little bit.
We need RJ to get who he wants when he wants. That's what we need from RJ because he has that kind of power now.
He's a big time producer.
The guests here don't respect me. If we follow, let's follow the brand growth. Well, sad thing is Buster only who doesn't respect me also doesn't respect you now, which is troubling. I've dragged you down with me.
How about this? April 20th. Hey, can you hop on for 5 minutes today? Talk a little Scherzer. That was Thursday. Guess what he said in response?
No.
Nothing. He has not responded.
Crickets.
He now, well, yeah. Buster associates you with me, which is not good.
Oh,
no. I'll tell you what's the problem. Have you taken Buster off for the lunch you promised him?
No.
Right.
How can I? Does it respond to me?
You guys need to start asserting your dominance. What is power if the muscle does not get involved? You guys need to get involved.
I've been saying the same thing to you for how many years?
That's kind of a stretch.
RJ, do you have anything to add? Because otherwise we can get right back to these Knicks calls.
No, we can move on.
Okay, let's move on. You say Juan in New Orleans, I like it, is a good caller. You're on 98.7. Good morning, Juan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let me just say, this is my first time to call, and I live in New Orleans. And I love listening to the show. This is when you guys had Canty and the Cole Group. You guys are the most interesting show on the radio.
Thank you.
With that said,
see what you've done. There's a buttering up, and now you're going to drop the hammer. Go ahead.
Okay, I live in New Orleans. We've had Anthony Davis. We've had Randall. We've had Drew Holiday, and we've had Josh Hart. And let me tell you, if the baby daddy there started wearing cowboy uniforms, and all of a sudden his kids become a cowboy fan, you wouldn't ask why, would you, Dave? But here is the deal. You have torn up Julius Randle for the entire time I have been listening to you, and now you're surprised that a lot of New York fans don't like Julius Randle.
Let me react to that. I'm surprised that there would be so much animosity when the Knicks are winning games. What is what surprises me? He's been awful. Like, even the biggest Julius Randle fan can't deny the fact that over this past weekend, he was unplayable yesterday, Juan. He was awful this weekend. But why would, when you're up 3-1, when you've played two great games, when you've taken a stranglehold on the series, why would now be the time that people are coming out of the woodwork to attack Julius Randle?
Anthony Davis had sprained his ankle 2 weeks ago. You wouldn't even be able to find Anthony Davis today.
That's a great point.
Mr. Randle will play. We will play him, Josh, Drew, those people. I mean, I watched them day after day before you got to know them. And those guys played. Didn't matter. Things coming out of their skin, fine. Doesn't matter. So I will tell your fans, your fan base there, that if he's not playing well these 3 days, after a strained ankle that would have kept my dear friend Anthony, sidelined for the next decade, he is hurting, guys. He is hurting because he doesn't – it's not that he's not trying. He's hurting. So I wish you all the best. Thank you for a wonderful call. Congratulations on your show. It's always fun. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Juan. Check in again. He was good. I like Juan.
That's a good, solid call,
that's
David.
That's a high-level call is what that is.
Yeah, he's got experience with these players. He's trying to give you some insight. And it's a it doesn't feel like it was a compliment because he kind of buttered you up and then went after you a little bit. But the fact that he thinks that you kind of set the agenda for how people in this area feel about certain players.
There's no way.
He says you say it, people think it.
That you think that because I'm not a Julius Randle guy, that all of a sudden now New York doesn't like Julius Randle? The way Julius Randle plays is very polarizing.
I don't think that's what he was saying.
It's exactly what he said.
I think that's exactly what he said.
I don't think they say that you were influencing.
Yes, he did.
I think he's pointing out, like, how can you call out people for coming down on Julius Randle when you've been doing it this entire time?
Well, no, I think he meant that if you keep saying, if Davis keep...
I'm swaying the people.
Yes,
he's got that much influence over the people.
Yes.
I'm very influential, Raymond.
You are. You definitely are.
Dave's an influencer.
You think I could be an influencer on social media?
No.
No?
You see Dave on TikTok dancing?
No, I can't. Yeah, I can see him singing. I can't see him dance. I've never
How
seen
How about
Dave
Josh
dance.
Hart stealing my song? You didn't
I
see
don't
it,
think
did
he stole your song,
you,
though.
You didn't see him singing?
Don't yeah, but stop is that believing. Your song? That's, but is that your
that's,
song?
That's one, it's one of my it's on my greatest hits.
It goes on and on and on and on.
It's one of my greatest hits.
Yeah, but no one sings it like you sing it.
Nobody. He can't sing it like me.
No.
You know what we should do? We should book Josh Hart for the show. We should sing together on the show.
You should
now that would be something special.
How good would that be?
You should grow your hair out and get an NY braided in it. That's what you should
Isn't
do.
Isn't that the Yankees logo he's got or no?
I mean, technically it could be a Knicks logo.
Oh, all right.
I would love to see you. I would love to see you with braids.
His great uncle's Elston Howard, so.
Is that right?
It's true.
I did not know that. I don't think I could do braids.
Oh, you'd have to grow your hair. Yeah, I mean, you have to grow your hair out.
You know what?
No.
That's a show bet.
How long would it take you to grow your hair out, though?
My hair grows fast, especially in the summer.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's no, because we got the Knicks City Dancers. We're not changing that one.
Well, but we could, everyone could have their own individual.
So, like a two-part punishment.
It'd be great. I
would pay good money to
have
that.
Braids?
Oh, my God.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet.
Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Well, I had Milo's games. We had some time in between games. Uh-huh. So I had the rink that we were playing at has, I mean, it may be one of the great setups you've ever seen in your life. This place you walk in, and it's the outside is really nice, but you walk in. There's three rinks. You go upstairs. There's this big, beautiful bar with a million TVs. They had
really?
A bowling alley. They had like golf simulators. The place, it's brand new. The place was amazing.
That sounds great. So you were able to partake in the games and then just get over to the bar and watch the NBA and NHL and everything.
Wall to wall televisions was amazing.
How good is that?
It was perfect, actually.
Did you see I can't believe Steph Curry called a timeout in that situation yesterday.
I'm more surprised the call, him making that decision, or the response from Stephen A.
You know, Stephen A, and he said it, so I can react off of it. He said, I'm watching the postgame show. He goes, you know, I have a real problem that they called an alleged like that, a technical foul in that situation. I was like, wait, what? And I thought maybe I didn't hear it accurately. And then I went back, I rewound it, and I listened again. I believe he thinks that because he's Steph Curry, they shouldn't call a T because he used a timeout they didn't have.
It's a special set of rules. Greatest players, you know, some of the greatest players get the benefit of the doubt.
That's the most preposterous thing I've ever heard. Could you imagine if back in the 93 championship game, they're like, well, Chris Webber, you didn't have that timeout, but because we're of the mindset that you'll probably be the number one pick in the draft, we're going to let it go when you guys keep the ball.
Yeah, like, you know, the whole Fab Five thing. We're gonna give you the benefit.
Yeah, just absolutely amazing. But let's be fair now. He almost completely blew that game. They would have lost that game. Their season would have been over.
Yes. Yeah, that's how big. I mean, that's how big that game.
Because they lose up that five game, with the ball with 40 seconds to go. He takes the timeout. They hit the free throw. Then they take a three. They miss it. They get the ball goes out of bounds. They get it back. I guess De'Aaron Fox hits a three. With like 27 seconds left, Golden State went a little early, I thought, and they shot it. Steph Curry missed a wide open look from about 12 feet out, a runner. He missed it. rebound Sacramento. They had timeouts. They took timeouts. They get a good look for Harrison Barnes. He misses it, and Golden State gets out of Dodge with a one-point win.
Right. That's how close it was to being the
It's 3-1. You go to Sacramento, you're done.
Yeah, right. Season's probably over.
Season is over. Sacramento's good. De'Aaron Fox is awesome.
See what happens, though, man? I'm telling you, all these people, I mean, it's just different. The playoffs, that pressure, it's just different. Things speed up. And you're talking about a guy who has, I mean, so much playoff experience. He's won 4 championships. One of the greatest players, I mean, who will go down as one of the greatest players of all time. Maybe the greatest shooter of all time.
I think so.
In that moment,
yep.
In that moment, things speed up. And he decides to call a timeout that they don't have.
It's amazing.
Did you see Steve Kerr on the sideline? He's like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe it.
What are you doing? I mean, it's just amazing that he would do that there. All right, let's get back to the Knicks calls because we have Around the League in 5 minutes. And then we have Mel Kiper Jr. right. And RJ says, of any guest we ever have, Rick, he says there is no one more punctual than Mel Kiper.
Look, Mel's a professional. Can we all recognize that?
No one said he wasn't.
This is why the man gets giant shipments of whipped cream.
And because he's got a lot of draft knowledge.
Right, but I wouldn't do this for just anybody.
No, of course not. Christian in Bayside. Hi, Christian. You're on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
First time caller, long time listener. Love you guys.
Oh, thank you.
So I was actually at the game, Knicks game on Friday night, and man, that crowd was just so electric. It's really unreal experience. Really glad I was able to go with my brother. Kind of also glad RJ balled out. I think over these last 2 games, he's been awesome. I don't know these Knicks fans calling, complaining, or ran on everything. Really should be focusing on the positive. Basically, my question is that if you guys think these last 2 games is like RJ's breakout, I know he's been like very up and down most of the season. Rick mentioned that the role players play better at home. He's not really a role player.
No, he's more than a role player.
Yeah, but he's not the number one or even number two guy. He's like the third guy. So I was just basically asking if you guys think that's more because of the MSG crowd, like the home atmosphere that kind of like pumped him up.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. And thanks for the call, Christian. He's been awesome. I don't believe you're kind of out of the woods. Like, I think RJ Barrett could certainly revert to some bad basketball again.
Yeah, well, that's been the biggest thing with him. You've seen glimpses of what you feel like his ceiling can be, but you've also seen a lot of inconsistency. Games 1 and 2 weren't good at all. Games 3 and 4 have been really good. I mean, he just feels more comfortable at the Garden?
Maybe.
With the home crowd?
But here's the thing. Take the ball to the basket.
Or maybe he understands, too. Like, maybe he understands that Julius is compromised right now.
And he's got to be the guy?
His mindset has to change a little bit.
I will say this, and I don't want to get into the whole dynamic of Julius and RJ and, you know, everything. I think that's like an off-season kind of topic. But I do think that it's got to be harder for him to play with Julius Randle, who's such an alpha, who demands the ball, who takes the shots all the time, who just is constantly with the basketball.
Yeah, and I think it's also easier for someone like Jalen Brunson because he's more on Julius's level. Like, RJ Barrett's the younger guy, you know what I mean? Like, Julius Randle is clearly taking control of this team. He's the veteran player, so there has to be some kind of, you know, respect paid to that, but... Like, we'll see if it continues. I hope it does, because this is the version that, you know, of RJ Barrett that we all hope for.
It's great. I mean, even if you lost on Wednesday, and you don't want that, but even if you lost and you got a good performance from RJ Barrett, you'd feel sensational about that.
I didn't hear your question because Raymond was talking in my ear the entire time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I don't blame you.
Well, no, because Raymond gets, you know how Raymond gets with the RJ Barrett stuff. He's very defensive.
He's very defensive.
Don't talk in my ear, Raymond.
What did I say? Oh, I said even if they lost on Wednesday, but you got a good performance out of RJ, you'd feel really good about that moving to, you know, the Garden for Game 6.
Right, exactly.
Yep. Here is RJ. We punched Cleveland back in the fourth quarter after they had their big shots landed in the third.
I think, you know, the fourth quarter was huge. I mean, they had a good run to start the third. They played a really good third quarter. You know, Jalen hit a huge shot at the end of the third to put us up, so that was big. And then just, you know, fourth quarter, just staying tough. You know, every time they threw a punch, kind of threw some back.
I'm the worst, by the way. Like, I get so wrapped up in every single moment. When they fell behind in that game yesterday, I was almost in tears. I was like, no. I was like, they're supposed to win this game, and then even if they lose 5, they come back. They close it out at the Garden in game 6, and now they're going to lose this game, and the series is getting away. And I was like, all right, calm down. Get a hold of yourself. And I did, and they came back, and they took care of business in the fourth.
It is crazy, though. Like, just the emotional roller coaster.
Is it, though?
It really is.
Because I thought they were going to... I mean, they're up 15 in the second quarter. You think that game... Like, it was on the verge of being over.
Yeah, but you expect it at some point. I mean, there's too much... Like, I don't think Cleveland's a great team, but there's too much. I mean, they're a good enough team that they're going to at least fight.
But I didn't think that they were going to go on such a run so quick. Like, it took them no time to evaporate the Knicks' lead.
Yeah.
And that to me was upsetting and distressing. Shaq in Dallas. Good morning, Shaq.
Hey, what's up, Rick and Dave? I'm so glad Rick is back. I mean, I love Dan, but he's like the Empire State Building of sports fans. You know, whoever pays him the most is going to light up their colors.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Rick's very loyal, Dan, not as much.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the Knicks. You know, like you guys have been touching on, you know, Julius Randle did not have the best games 3 and 4. But we still got the win. I mean, it seems like as long as we get a good performance from either RJ or Julius, that we can win against the Cavs. You know, so I'm really excited about the rest of the series because I think, you know, one of them is going to show up Game 5. I want to close it out and get this win. But if not, you know, let's close it out in 6. Let's go Knicks, baby.
Let's go Knicks is exactly right. Yeah, listen, I don't think anything happens on Wednesday night that has me heartbroken from that game.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I would just, again, I mean, Cleveland's going to give you their best shot. Expect that. Donovan Mitchell's probably going to have a good game. I mean, his last games 3 and 4, I mean, you're looking at the numbers, 14 to 37, 2 for 12 from 3, 33 combined points. Like, that's not who he is. So I would expect him to have a big game 5. But, like, I'd rather not play with my food. If we have a chance to put it away, let's put it away.
What does that mean, play with your food?
Don't play with your food. Just eat it. Get it done. Take care of it.
Oh, so like just go into Cleveland, finish the series.
Yeah, don't give them any hope.
But if you have to expect, I would imagine
I do.
Cleveland is favorites in this game.
Right. I expect you're going to get their best shot.
Right.
And like, I also expect the Knicks to just, I mean, there should be also that, I mean, can you get to that same level of urgency that Cleveland's going to have? It's going to be tough because you have the luxury ahead of the 3-1 lead.
Right. Which also should mean there's very little pressure on the Knicks in this game, and maybe they play a little bit looser.
Right, but I mean, the playoffs can change so quickly with some stupid injury or something else. You have a chance to put a team away. I would rather.
Of course you'd rather.
Put them away.
If I told you, though, you lose Game 5 and I promised you a win in Game 6,
oh, yeah.
Would you sign for that right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, of course.
At the Garden to have that place just going bonkers?
Of course, and I also, I think there's a benefit too, and I know these series and how they're spread out and everything else, but try to get this thing wrapped up. So
get time off for your guys, sure.
Right, so Julius, I mean, can get some rest for that ankle. I'm sure Jalen's playing through some stuff.
I'm sure everybody doesn't feel great at this time of the season.
I love how Jeff Van Gundy has no idea what the 3-point celebration's all about.
No idea.
It's flummoxed.
How about, who was it that she asked it right after?
Yeah, he said.
Lisa Salter.
Don't worry about it.
He's like, no, I will not tell you that.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. That is information that you will not find out.
I just want to know your 3-point celebration. Where did it come from?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, wow. Okay. You don't need to know, guys. You don't need to know.
Don't worry about it.
Mind your business, Jeff.
Don't you worry about it. I love that. What is she supposed to say to that? Where's that 3-point celebration come from?
Don't worry about it.
You don't worry about that.
Exactly what he said. Doesn't want to tell you guys. All right, let's move on.
It was awkward. Nick in Woodbridge, speaking of moving on. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys. Big win both Friday night and yesterday. I got to give some love to my guy, Mitchell Robinson. There was a stretch in that game where Mitchell Robinson was the only Nick who was scoring the basketball. The hustle points, the rebounding, he just done what he's been doing all year long, but he did it on the biggest stage. I said prior to Game 1, he would be a key if the Knicks were going to win this series, and he's showing up as well. So the other point is, I really love what I saw from Deuce McBride off the bench. I think he gave some really key minutes yesterday, and it's hard to just come up and play some really solid defense like that after you're sitting all game. So really pumped for this. I think they can win Game 5, but if it ends up back in the Garden at Game 6, you got to love your chances. Thanks for the call.
You feel great. You feel great. You're up 3-1. You did what you had to do. And that's why the Game 2 loss, so many people were so upset about that Game 2 loss where you got bludgeoned in the game and Cleveland, you know, really responded. Now you're in real trouble. And my thought was, no, I think the Knicks are probably as good, if not better. And now the location changes to the Garden where the Knicks are going to be much better. I wasn't worried heading into game three.
No, I don't think you needed to be worried. I mean, you went to Cleveland to win one. You won one. And I could almost make the argument because that game was never really in doubt for Cleveland. That getting embarrassed was probably not a bad thing at all to make sure that you know, I mean, what the team is capable of doing. So the preparation going into game three was exactly what it needed to be. You didn't take anything for granted. I just think that sometimes in playoff situations like this is that, yeah, you have the luxury of a 3-1 lead and you know that there will be a game six, but you go to Cleveland, they beat you up. Donovan Mitchell plays great. All of a sudden, he gets some confidence. Now, the pressure, I mean, you don't want to go back to Cleveland for Game 7.
No.
Right,
no.
So there's pressure to win that Game 6, too.
No. There's all the pressure in the world is on Cleveland is on Cleveland Game 5. The pressure switches to the Knicks for Game 6.
Yeah. So, again, this is why I'm saying, like, you're going to get their best shot, and I understand that. But I think everyone that's watched this series agrees that the better team is the Knicks are probably the better team.
I think so. But so, I thought so coming into the series. I thought the Knicks were the better team.
Yeah, listen, I'm surprised. You picked this Knicks in six. I give you tons of credit. I think my take on Julius was right that he wasn't going to be like his health was in question. I just thought that Donovan Mitchell would be
better.
Yeah,
you know what would be happening right now if Donovan Mitchell was on the Knicks and he was playing like this in the postseason?
Well, it depends. If they were winning,
if they're winning, it wouldn't matter. But you would imagine if you've traded a lot of pieces, you bring in Donovan Mitchell, he plays like this. Odds are you're not winning.
Here's the thing, because I still think that the Knicks would be a better team if they had Randall, Brunson, and Mitchell. I think that's closer to putting you towards what you eventually want. Because then you'll have to, I mean, you'll obviously have to put the pieces around them. But when you look at why this series is now 3-1, you could point to the fact that what Cleveland had to give up to get Donovan Mitchell is why they're not as deep as the Knicks and what the Knicks would have had to give up to get Donovan Mitchell.
And think of the pieces the Knicks still have because they didn't even make the trade for Donovan Mitchell. We will get back to the Knicks in the 8 o'clock hour along with the baseball and the hockey and all of it. But now let's spend a little bit of time on the NFL and go around the league.
It's time to go around the league.
And here we go. Thank you for the introduction there. Jets and Packers, Rick, have recently re-engaged in trade talks surrounding Aaron Rodgers. That's according to Ian Rappaport. Although a deal not imminent, both teams are at least talking and hope a deal can be done this week. New York has the 13th selection, 42 from Cleveland in the Elijah Moore trade, and 43 as well. One or two of the Jets picks seem likely to be involved if the Rodgers deal gets done before the draft.
Did you happen to see that? I just saw this yesterday.
What?
So I don't know if you saw it already. Did you see what Greeny said on McAfee?
No.
That the reason why, and he made it sound like he actually had heard this from somebody reputable, that the reason why this has gone as long as it's gone is because he told the Jets when they met that there's no rush. He's not going to be in New York till May anyway, so don't rush this thing. Make sure we keep the 13th pick because I need an offensive tackle.
Really?
That's what he said. I don't know how true that is, but... Or if the 13th pick was ever in question, because it would seem crazy.
The Jets might have just said from jump, we're not trading the 13th pick.
Well, you would think, right? I mean, the parameters before you got the go ahead to talk to them that they understood what was going to be exchanged.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people wrong. I still hear people say just include the 13th pick. Ugh. You're not including the 13th pick. You're going to include one second rounder. I imagine this thing is going to get done this weekend. At some point.
Well, because that would make the most sense.
Well, if you're Green Bay, don't you want it? I mean, you would like to take the pieces you get from him and be able to put them into play right away, no?
I would like to do whatever unless they already know that Jordan Love's not that good, I would like to give Jordan Love every possible weapon to make sure he's good so I don't look like an idiot for drafting him.
Right, whether you take a tight end or a wide receiver or an offensive lineman, at least you add pieces to make this quarterback who you have so much... draft capital in, right? He was a first-round pick. You moved up to get him. You want to make him look as good as humanly possible.
Right, and it ruined the relationship between you and Aaron Rodgers. On top of it.
I have heard Aaron Rodgers. I was talking to someone this weekend who was pretty much in the know. They said Aaron Rodgers, he's impossible.
I see. I heard different.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I heard different. I heard that he's, I mean, he has high expectations for everybody, but as far as how he treats everyone, like, in the locker room, like staff and everything else, I heard he's great.
All right. Well, we have differing stories there. Saquon Barkley had a chance to weigh in on his situation with the Giants. Quote, where do I stand with the Giants right now? It's like what someone said the other day. It's still April. That's Saquon via Keith Groller of the Morning Call. Quote, I haven't had conversations with Joe too much. The best way I can handle this is to keep working. Whatever happens, happens. There are things I really can't control right now. All I can control is how I will wake up every morning and stay with my goals and my passion. Even though I may not be with the team right now and not in the building, I don't want anyone to think that the Giants are concerned about my work ethic and my teammates aren't worried about how I'm preparing. Now, July the 17th is the deadline for the Giants and Barkley to work out a longer deal. If they can't, and Barkley eventually does sign that tag, he will play for the little more than $10 million salary this coming season.
This is what sucks. Can I tell you what sucks?
What sucks?
Is that because he's such a good guy and because he has such a great work ethic, that if you're Joe Shane and Brian Daboll,
you don't have to worry.
Right, you don't have to worry. So they're okay with just having him play on the franchise tag. If he wasn't like that, and he was a pain in the ass, and, you know, he was the squeaky wheel that you were concerned, oh, if we don't get a deal done, he's going to be useless for us next year
anyway.
He would
make everything impossible.
But because he's such a good guy, he's now going to play under the tag.
Can I take the flip side of this just a little bit? And I do think that the whole running back situation, it's bizarre, and it's strange, and it's certainly a little unfair. At least he's been paid during his time in the NFL.
Well, first, yeah, he's the second overall.
He's the second overall. So I think we determined, like, after this year, we figured out on Friday that he's going to make upwards of $40 million in his NFL career
yeah.
so far.
That's right.
So it's not like he's made, you know, $4 million, is playing for 8 or 10, and then that'll be the end. I mean, this guy's going to wind up making over $50 million in his NFL career, and that's solely on the field.
No. Listen, I don't disagree with you as far as the position and how, if I would pay him or not. I just think, you know, as a guy that's been in locker rooms, you have a guy like Saquon that's exactly what you want. It's what the coaches preach about. Like, he's the example that you give. Those are the guys that you would like to see get taken care of.
You're correct, but unfortunately for him, he's a running back. And it's very difficult to pay the running back on that second deal. I'm sure you saw this story. This is the fact that guys continue to do this. It's just I don't understand.
It's mind-numbing.
Isn't it? Friday, Jameson Williams and four other Lions, some of them former Lions now, were suspended indefinitely for betting on NFL games, as was the Commanders' Shaka Tony. They can reapply for reinstatement after one full year. Second-year wide receiver Williams, a former first-rounder, and Stanley Berryhill are being suspended for 6 games, each for mobile betting that occurred at the Lions' Allen Park facility.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
They did not bet on NFL games. The Lions said the NFL noted in its announcement that it uncovered no evidence indicating any inside information was used or that any game was compromised by the players betting. How dumb do you have to be, whether you think it makes sense or not? If you gamble on games, you're going to be suspended. If you gamble on NFL games, you're going to get a one-year suspension. How dumb do you have to be to do it?
Well, how much are you making? How much are you wagering that it's going to, that you would risk it?
Yeah, but I think a lot of
how many times
did.
Have you? But okay, no, I get what you're saying. Like, you've already seen it happen to Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
But how many, I'm sure, because we have NFL, NHL, we all have security, and they go through the rules and everything else. How many times they've been bashed over the head with, hey, listen, we know everything that's happening. We're keeping a close eye on it, because the last thing with all the money that we have pouring in from gambling is to jeopardize the integrity of our sport, so we're going to keep eyes on everybody. How much could Jameson Williams be wagering that would make it worth him risking getting suspended?
I mean, the only way it would make any sense is if you're betting, like, millions of dollars and winning that kind of money. Right. Can you imagine if he's betting like $1,000, $2,000, $5,000? And you can't bet
if he's like John Winthrop and he's doing 17 game parlays.
But you can't even bet that much on these. There's like a limit to how much you'll let you wager
on these stupidity
things,
at its finest.
Ridiculous.
It's stupidity at its finest.
It really is amazing. And how about this? A recent report indicated the Niners have fielded calls about a potential trade for Trey Lance, with the Vikings potentially being involved. But Lance offered no information on the trade speculation while attending North Dakota State's final spring practice on Saturday. Quote, "I got no comment on that," Lance told Mike McFeely of Inforum.com. Quote, "I have no information."
That happened quickly. It escalated quickly.
Right?
Yeah.
Because his value can't be very high.
No.
You got to be like a Vikings team. You look at him, you're like, maybe we can steal him away and he'll turn into something. And if he doesn't, then it's fine.
Right. I mean, we're looking for a long-term answer. It's not going to cost us. I mean, look what it cost San Francisco to get him.
They had to move up, trade a ton of draft capital, take him third, and he's given you nothing so far.
He's given you nothing. And all of a sudden now, the last pick in the draft is the guy you're going to roll with.
He's better.
For that system, yeah, he's better.
He's a really talented quarterback.
Dude, it's the biggest problem with this whole process is that we heard Mac Jones, because he fits exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. And then all of a sudden it was, well, could you give up that much draft equity to take Mac Jones? You need someone that has that rare talent.
Yeah, that splash kind of player.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.